Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Our military deserves better than it's getting. Our country faces a devastating recruitment crisis. Men and women are not volunteering to serve at the levels required. Our readiness is down. Our costs are up. And it seems like nearly every major weapon system, again, often discussed in this very room, is costing too much, delivering too little, and taking way too long.
That's former Congressman Mike Walls talking to the Senate Armed Services Committee about the nomination of Pete Hegseth to be the Secretary of Defense. That advanced out of the committee on a party line vote, 14-13. It advanced for the, within a certain time frame, you have to hear it and not wait 7 days like is kind of the norm on a straight party line vote. Actually, not even a straight party line vote. We had two Republicans who defected, Murkowski and Collins, and so it was a very, very narrow vote. And he's supposed to get voted on today. So assuming enough of your Republicans hold the line, your new Secretary of Defense is going to be Pete Hegseth. But you just never know. That's like they always say, you got to actually play the game on Sunday or Saturday. Depends if you're college or pro. And you've got to actually run the votes, because until you actually run the votes, you don't know what's going to happen. But Mike Walls, and you know what? Honestly, I have a lot of questions about the Pete Hegseth nomination. My questions don't have anything to do with the like scandal allegations and that kind of stuff. They have more to do with experience and capability, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again. But honestly, listening to Mike Walls talk about him, you know, I've had Congressman Walls on the show a few times. He's a Green Beret, the first former Green Beret. He's the first Green Beret in Congress. You know, good congressman, certainly knows, national security issues and defense issues, and has served the country very well in both his military and his political capacity. And he gives Pete his full endorsement. In fact, you know, I don't know the process particularly about how Trump came to nominate Pete Hegseth, but it sounds like maybe Mike Walts had some influence on this. And if that's true, look, Mike knows Pete a whole lot better than I do. And if Mike thinks he's a good nominee, I mean, honestly, that counts for a lot with me.
This is a man who can reinvigorate that warrior ethos, and this is a man that will lead. I can't imagine having a more capable partner in my position as National Security Advisor.
I mean, that's high praise. So you've heard some of the sort of scandal allegations, and basically his answer to this is, these were all smear campaigns against me. These were all people who were either lying about me, lying about things that I've done, or they didn't get the full story because it was only reported what the critics said. It felt to him, and I felt watching it like the Kavanaugh hearings, he admits that he's made some mistakes, lots of mistakes. He's on his third marriage. There's been alcohol in the past, you know, infidelity in the past, but he also says that
I'm not a perfect person, as has been acknowledged, saved by the grace of God, by Jesus and Jenny. I'm not a perfect person, but redemption is real. And God forged me in ways that I know I'm prepared for.
And which, redemption is available for all kinds of people, right? I mean, that's, if you're a Christian, that's what you believe in. So can a person be a hot mess and then, you know, find Jesus and the right wife and turn his whole life around? Sure. It's entirely possible. And again, on these allegations, he just says, look.
So from story after story in the media, left-wing media, we saw anonymous source after anonymous source based on second or third-hand accounts. And time again, stories would come out and people would reach out to me and say, you know, I've spoken to this reporter about who you really are, and I was willing to go on the record. But they didn't print my quote. They didn't print any of my quotes. Or I've worked with you for 10 years, or I was your accountant, or I was your chief operating officer, or I was your board member, or I was with you on 100 different tour stops for Concerned Veterans for America. No one called me. No one asked about your conduct on the record or off the record. Instead, a small handful of anonymous sources were allowed to drive a smear campaign, an agenda about me, because our left-wing media in America today, sadly, doesn't care about the truth. All they were out to do, Mr. Chairman, was to destroy me.
Yeah, and so I'm actually not much interested in these various kinds of allegations about his past. I think the real question, and here's the other thing, this kind of came up in the hearings, is how clean are all these senators? You know, I mean, some of them are, some of them are not. And the level of expertise or qualifications that they would bring to their own jobs, you know, I mean, yes, it's civilian oversight of the military, but some of them are military, you know, veterans. Some of the, honestly, some of the female veterans on that committee who were all up in Pete Hegseth's business about his views on women in the military, I mean, they were just, they were embarrassing to themselves. In, you know, kind of the typical thing of the critics want to just harangue you and yell a question and then interrupt your answer. I mean, Mazie Hirono is, it's baffling to me how this woman gets elected to the Senate. Amazing. Service to the country, you know, fine. You know, Senator Tammy Duckworth, you know, I mean, there's just people who are, they have the, you know, the past, but then you're like, what? I just don't understand. Anyway, so, you know, all of a sudden, I can't remember if Mazie was a veteran or not. So I think she was, but, I hate saying things that might be wrong, so I apologize if I got that wrong. But anyway, that stuff doesn't interest me. What does interest me is his experience. And he does not have experience running a big organization with a big budget. I mean, you know, a couple hundred people, a few million dollars. That's a huge transition to an $850 billion enterprise with, you know, millions of subordinates and employees. That's the part that concerns me. But their answer, you know, the kind of the Trump White House's slash Pete Hegseth's answer is that, you know, look, I'm different, but what we've been doing so far isn't working, and so maybe different is exactly the right thing.
Now, it is true and has been acknowledged that I don't have a similar biography to defense secretaries of the last 30 years. But as President Trump also told me, we've repeatedly placed people atop the Pentagon with supposedly the right credentials, whether they are retired generals, academics, or defense contractor executives. And where has it gotten us? He believes, and I humbly agree, that it's time to give someone with dust on his boots the helm. A change agent, someone with no vested interest in certain companies or specific programs or approved narratives. My only special interest is the warfighter.
Hey, that's great. And he clearly has that focus. He doesn't have a high rank. He doesn't have experience running organizations or money. And he gets accused of having views about women in the military that do not align with at least the current military. But I heard his answers on those questions on the women in the military one, and I thought he was dead spot on. His basic answer is, of course, women can be, you know, open to these positions, but they have to meet the standards, and the standards need to not be lowered for women, especially if we're talking about standards for a job that involves physical strength, like, you know, working artillery, for example, or carrying a, you know, a light infantry or, a, you know, heavy machine gun or something like that. You know, these are 50-pound guns. If you're a woman, you can carry it. Great. If not, we're not going to lower the standards for you. So that's all he's saying, or at least that's what he said in the hearing. So will he get passed today? I would think so, but it's going to be close. It's going to be one vote. Would I vote for him? Oh, I think I would. Until the hearings, I would have voted no. And I think based on the hearings, I tend to be, you know, you have to figure out your default in life. Like, for example, constitutional amendments, you know, or ballot initiatives. You always vote no unless you can prove to me that's a really good idea to vote yes. When it comes to cabinet appointments by a president, you vote yes until they can prove that you should vote no. Because the president is entitled to have the people that he wants unless there's a reason not to let him. So I would vote very tentatively, hesitatingly, I would vote yes. Because I think you got to give the president his people unless there's, like I said, obvious in, you know, reasons to say absolutely not. So I would vote yes on the default setting rather than vote yes on the I think he's qualified for it, because I don't think he's qualified for it. If you ask me my personal judgment based on, you know, history and what he's done before running organizations. So would I pick him? I wouldn't pick him. Would I approve that Trump picked him? I would. That's where I come down. 520 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Roads are 90-95% clear. Okay. The problem is, as you heard David mention, there are little patches, little areas that have been getting shade or have been in trees, or like the overpass, the one real, like I saw this example yesterday, the I-10 overpass on Davis, under the overpass was wet and cold and wind blows and so frozen. And so I saw people going very slowly through there and I thought, why are they going so slow? And I'm like, oh, because it's ice. But it's a straight shot. As long as you don't try to stop, you know, go slow and go straight. Don't switch lanes. but I saw this on Burgess yesterday because I did a little tour around, a very small tour around the area, and most of the roads are totally fine, or they have a little bit of packed snow. You know, it's not a big deal. And then I turned off of Palafox onto Burgess going towards West Florida High School, the railroad tracks, and it were 10 cars on the side of the road, and it was a solid sheet of ice in parts. Like, this is me as living my whole life in Chicago and St. Louis and, you know, driving in this stuff all the time. And I'm telling you, you can't solve ice. Ice is ice. It's going to do what it's going to do. And I got scared on a part of that road, and I thought, well, you know what? I was wrong. John, how many times have I said this? I've been wrong about everything in this storm.
A few times.
I mean, I can tell you how to drive on bad conditions. I can tell you how to make a snowman, but my predictions about the amount of snow or what we should do opening and
when it was coming.
I think the only thing I got right was I said the school districts would close Thursdays and Friday, and I got that right. But then I came back the next day and I'm like, they probably shouldn't have. No, they were right for closing today. And here's why. The patchy areas or the areas in neighborhoods that people are going to have trouble getting out of are a good reason to have the schools closed at least one more day. So they were right. That was a good call. And just because of the shade and the, you know, melt and refreeze kind of problem, which is a real problem where it's a problem. Most places, not a problem. But where it's a problem, all of a sudden, you have no control of your car, and you just, you know, that's the challenge. 521 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to go shopping for a good quality used car, you know, 10 to 50,000 miles, a year, two, five, maybe something like that, old in great condition. That's the idea. They only sell cars that are in good condition because they want you to have that same feeling of a dealership without having to pay the cost of the dealership. And then they're going to warranty that car to 10 years or 100,000 miles because if anything is wrong, they're going to take care of you, which is why they only sell good quality cars. And also because they have a different philosophy about being a used car place. They want you to come back again and again and again and know that you can count on them. And that's the point. They're not in this for the kind of one transaction and hope that they can take advantage of you the way you feel a lot of times when you go to a used car place, because that's really what's going on. Well, Frontier, they're just trying to serve you as they've been doing for more than 25 years, serving this Pensacola community. Right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for University Housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Staying healthy after 65 just got easier with Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. Your journey to wellness includes a customized primary care experience with Ochsner's trusted team of providers. This means more time with your care team at appointments and focus on your health needs. Plus, daily group activities, access to an on-site fitness center. Achieve your health goals with Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. Accepting patients at 9 Mile Road and their new location on Mobile Highway, opening soon. Visit Ochsner.org/65+-Pensacola.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
A complete and total barforama.
If I had my time again, I would do it all the same. And not change a single thing, even when I was the blind. For the heartache and the pain.
When I proposed re-upping the state guard, because it wasn't like we just created this. We used to have a state guard in the state of Florida. So we wanted to reconstitute it. And how that was characterized was a total joke, acting like this is going to be some type of threat to the state.
You remember when DeSantis was reactivating the state guard and, you know, the criticism from the left and from a lot of the, you know, traditional media was, oh my God, he's creating his own personal Gestapo. You know, he's going to send these people out and they're going to do his bidding and violate the law. And I mean, just all the crazy, outrageous things that were said about this state guard. And then there's no accountability for people say these crazy things. There's no, you know, one of the things I think sometimes it's surprising is you heard me just in the previous segment. How many times, you know, did I get things wrong about this storm? And I'll tell you, I got that wrong. And I always try to tell you, if I made a prediction, I got it right. I got it right. I made a prediction, I got that wrong. You just don't get that most places. People just go on radio and TV or in the paper and they say these outrageous things. And then, you know, 2 years later when it didn't happen, silence. You know, nothing. No apology. No contrition. And then what's the state guard actually been doing?
These guys have gone out. I mean, when Helene hit, we had a lot of resources staged in Florida. Fortunately, we did not need to do massive search and rescue compared to what a lot of people thought would need to be done. And so 24 hours into it, 36 hours into it, we had resources. Then you had Western North Carolina. You had parts of Georgia. So we sent to Western North Carolina. So you actually had the Florida State Guard effectuating rescues in Western North Carolina in ways that were really, really impactful. They did a whole bunch of stuff in Milton as well. So these guys have done really, really good. It's been a great asset for the state of Florida.
That's the hurricane, not the city. but yeah, you know, oh, the sky is going to fall. DeSantis is going to become a tyrant. He's finally going to do it. 2 years later, did I say that? And that's so true, is all of these doom and gloom and he's a racist and he's a sexist and he's going to ruin everything. And, you know, and then a couple of years later, everything is cooking. And there's no acknowledgement, none whatsoever. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David.
And good morning, gentlemen. In California, they're providing $2.5 billion in wildfire recovery funding for Los Angeles County. The Governor Gavin Newsom yesterday signing a funding package. He said that the money will help speed up their rebuilding efforts after all those wildfires. Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family have agreed to pay more than $7 billion to resolve lawsuits related to the opioid crisis. Yesterday, the Sacklers increased their proposed settlement contribution to $7.4 billion after the Supreme Court rejected a previous settlement last year. And a rare copy of the Declaration of Independence is expected to fetch as much as $4 million when it goes up for auction. The copy from July 1776 was printed to help spread the document to the public. It's one of only 10 known copies in existence, most of which are in collections. This particular one was made in New Hampshire. It's going on auction today at Sotheby's.
Yeah, that's great. I don't know. Did your story happen to say how many copies were made originally? Because I thought
10.
This was... No. This is what's left. There are 10 copies that are left.
Right. Okay,
How many copies were made? Because that was the original idea, is we got to explain this to people. We got to, you know, distribute this information. We got to make our pamphlets. And we send out the Declaration of Independence, and then people can read it and they can learn what we're trying to do to, you know, to create a new government for us. And, you know, because you may not remember, but there was a time when you couldn't just look it up on the internet.
That's true.
and you may, I mean, people, I assume, know this, but maybe you don't, is, you know, things like the Federalist Papers were originally a series of columns printed in the newspaper.
It's estimated that there were 200 copies made.
There you go, 200. Doesn't seem like a lot for 13 colonies and 3 million people, but, you know, word spreads. And you'd, I don't know the history of this, pardon me for not knowing, but I'm assuming that you basically had, you know, Jeremiah had a copy, and Jeremiah called all of the town together, and the 43 right. of you got together one day, and he read it for you. It's not that long. You know, it takes about 15 minutes to read out loud. And, you know, oh, okay, that's what we're doing. You know, in the town. And then, yeah, and then Jeremiah got on his horse and ran to the next town. And that's kind of how they did.
A lot different back then.
Yeah, just like today. You know,
just like
today, you know.
Well, you know, if you want to invite us all over, we'll have a reading.
We'll have a reading of the Declaration. We do it every July 4th.
Okay, yeah.
Well, and I mean, of course, today the problem is, you know, TikTok would tell you what's in the Declaration of Independence. It'd read the first line and then do a dance, and they'd be done. And that'd be
what's the Declaration of Independence dance look like? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I've heard some wild stories about Ben Franklin, so you know, get old TJ up there. Reading what he wrote, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident.
It's Friday.
It is Friday, and the snow's going away. We're back to normal.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump today travels to see hurricane damage in Asheville, North Carolina, and wildfire damage in Los Angeles, California.
California Governor Gavin Newsom telling reporters,
I look forward to being there on the tarmac to thank the president, welcome him.
Pushing back against the president's criticism of the state's water management.
The state water project has nothing to do with the fires here, nothing.
Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
President Trump says his administration will challenge a judge's order blocking his order to end birthright citizenship for at least 2 weeks. 4 states sued.
A federal judge in Seattle saying this, quote, I've been on the bench for over 4 decades. I can't remember another case that presented a question as clear as this one. This is a blatantly unconstitutional order.
Fox's Chanley Painter. Pete Hegseth's nomination as defense secretary advances in the Senate, setting up a final vote tonight. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3, 28 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. Voters can get back out to cast their votes in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties today. All early voting locations across Escambia County, there's 7 locations in Escambia County and 2 locations in Santa Rosa County, are going to be open both today and tomorrow from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m., You can vote at any early voting location in your county. To find the polling location that works best for you, check out either county website, escambiavotes.gov or votesantarosa.gov. Pensacola residents need to get their garbage cans out by 9 o'clock this morning if they want to have their trash picked up. The city's planning to catch up on their missed collections through the weekend. Mayor D.C. Reeves says they can't guarantee they'll get to every can, but they're going to try.
Worst case scenario, obviously we're evaluating safety and hills and, you know, equipment and everything else. Our goal, if for whatever reason those last couple of cans we don't get to, obviously we'll go back to our normal Monday, Tuesday schedule.
Reeves says that they will be picking up both today and tomorrow and then plan to resume their normal pickup operations next week. ECUA garbage collection also resumes today. They're picking up Wednesday's route today. Thursday's route on Saturday, Friday's route on Sunday. Well, record-setting snowfall and bitter cold temperatures have been hard on Northwest Florida this week. It's been very difficult on our homeless population. There's been a big turnout at the local waterfront Rescue Mission shelter.
We have a record high of number of individuals that are seeking shelter with us, and our teams have been stepping up to take care of them.
That is Waterfront CEO Clay Romano, and he says he's expecting record numbers to continue throughout the weekend. He said the average number of people at the shelter is around 150 to 160. Currently, they have over 360 people that have been seeking shelter from the cold. He says during extreme weather times, the shelter suspends their normal procedures, waives overnight stay fees, and takes in as many people as they can. A Florida man's been arrested for allegedly climbing a wall at President Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. Police say 30-year-old Bihan Arceo jumped over a security wall at the resort Tuesday. Security guards quickly detained the man. Arceo appeared in court yesterday. He was issued a $20,000 bond in order to have no contact with Trump or with Mar-a-Lago. The president was not at Mar-a-Lago at the time. He was in Washington, D.C. Spirit Airlines says they're implementing some new rules for their passengers regarding offensive tattoos and sheer clothing.
Spirit updated its contract of carriage Wednesday, saying passengers will not be allowed to board or will be asked to leave if they have body art that's lewd, obscene, or offensive in nature. That also applies to passengers who are inadequately clothed, which is defined as see-through clothing not adequately covered, exposed breasts, buttocks, or other private parts. The budget airline has previously banned barefoot passengers or offensive clothing. I'm Brian Shook.
Thank you very much, Brian. And right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 28 degrees in Pensacola. It is 28 also in Gulf Breeze. And we've got 22 degrees right now in Milton. Your next news is at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. U.S. steelworkers have written a letter to President Trump urging the leader to approve the $14.9 billion takeover by Japan's Nippon Steel. The employees made it clear they did not want the iconic Pittsburgh company to sell to their competitor in Cleveland. The letter was in response to a January news conference during which Cleveland-Cliffs CEO Lorenzo Goncalves said Japan was directly responsible for threatening American steel jobs. The president of PNC Financial Services Group is stepping down less than a year after assuming the leadership role. Michael Lyons is leaving PNC to become president and CEO of Fiserv, a global provider of payments and financial services technology. PNC did not announce his successor. First Aid Beauty has voluntarily recalled more than 2,700 pots of its best-selling Ultra Repair Cream in the coconut vanilla scent after a batch intended for quarantine was accidentally sold to customers. Futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
Since 1988, Volkswagen drivers have come to Feedmore Imports on New Warrington Road for the distinctive style, innovative design, and value of VW offers. This year, the tradition continues with the all-electric ID. Buzz. This highly anticipated new VW has arrived and is waiting for you to experience today. The ID. Buzz joins the VW lineup, including the family-sized Atlas and the Atlas Cross Sport SUV. Both models are available with 1.9% financing for 60 months, or choose a $4,500 discount on the Atlas and $4,000 off the Atlas Cross Sport. And the 2024 Tiguan has 0% financing for 60 months or $3,000 in rebates. They all share VW's distinctive and innovative design, and they're all at Feedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices.
Discounts are a standalone offer, not to be combined with special APR rate for Volkswagen Financial Services with qualifying credit. Offers expire March 3rd, 2025.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
When you have a good thing going, having two good things going is twice as nice. Bobby Likas Auto Service has been helping Pensacola service and repair their vehicles for years. Now Bobby Likas Auto Service has a second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. Same great service and reliable work. No matter if you're driving a truck, a luxury vehicle, or your family sedan, take it to the place thousands have done for years. Take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service, still on Davis Highway and now also on Pensacola Boulevard.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
With a little love. Good morning, 539, News Radio 923, informative, local, dependable. If you're looking for a road condition update, it's short. The roads are almost all great. There's a couple of areas of packed snow that you might want to be a little bit cautious about, and they come suddenly. You know, it's dry, dry, dry snow. So, you know, don't speed, just go a little bit slow. Also, and there are some areas of ice or even black ice. And on those areas, I mean, it's just really unsafe to drive. So you just got to kind of be careful and anticipate the possibility of something suddenly being an issue. But most of the roads are very clear. I put a video up on our Facebook page if you want to see it for yourself. Yesterday, had a good chance to talk to Clay Romano. He is the president and CEO of Waterfront Rescue Mission. Clay, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the population that in a situation like this, you know, we're all worried about the roads and schools and businesses and if we have groceries and pipes freezing and all those things are very important considerations. It can be pretty easy to forget about the most vulnerable people that live among us, the homeless folks that you guys deal with on a daily basis. What is going on right now at the rescue mission?
Well, lots of things are going on at the missions, both here in Pensacola and the one we have over in Mobile. Of course, we have a record high of number of individuals that are seeking shelter with us, and our teams have been stepping up to take care of them. Of course, we prepped.
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say, and shelter for extended periods. This is not a one-day thing, right?
Oh, gosh, no, this is definitely not a one-day thing. We'll probably see these numbers through the weekend. I was looking at the weather forecast earlier this morning on WEAR, and it's probably not going to get any kind of relief until Sunday into Monday. So we're expected to see this kind of activity for several more days. Absolutely.
And I'm sorry, I sort of interrupted you. I apologize. But I think we're about to talk about the numbers that you've got, you know, and for context, what is a normal full, like, person per bed, not using any extra surge capacity for you? And then what are we at now?
So we normally will see an average during regular weather, you know, the calm weather kind of days of anywhere between 150 to 160 individuals in the mission here in Pensacola, obviously a little less over in Mobile. But last night alone, between our two missions, we had just over 360 individuals in our locations.
Wow. And so that's people sleeping bags on floors, you know, just all over wherever you can find a space for them, I assume. Is that right?
Actually, no, we don't have anybody sleeping on the floors. We have enough cots from the Red Cross and, of course, our permanent, sleeping situation beds, our bunk beds, to accommodate these people. So we're getting close to our capacity, but we still have a little bit of room to take additional individuals.
Wow, 300. That's amazing. And you guys have a policy in adverse weather like this is extremely adverse weather, the cold. That you basically, your rule is you don't turn people away, right? Because it's saving lives is the number one rule.
Absolutely. During extreme weather, which obviously this is extreme weather, we suspend all of our normal operating procedures and there's no charge for an overnight stay. And we just want to take care of as many of God's children as we possibly can.
I know a lot of times, you know, people will come for the night and then leave during the day, whether they're working or whether they're whatever they're doing during the day, they're not necessarily in the mission. Are people currently staying kind of 24 hours? Are some people still leaving? What's the kind of behavior like? I mean, you're feeding a lot of people too. I assume the kitchen is super busy.
The kitchen is extremely busy. Our chef Pam and her husband Rusty have been doing a tremendous job of feeding these individuals breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But what is interesting is that the population that is in the mission are staying throughout the day because clearly 20 degrees outside is still very, very cold, even in the big middle of the day. And so they'll kind of venture out to get some fresh air. Some will go out to smoke, of course, and then they'll make their way back into the mission where it's nice and toasty warm. Mm-hmm. But yesterday when I was at the mission, it was kind of an interesting scene. Several of the overnight guests had gone outside and started a makeshift snowball fight right there in the front of the mission. And I just thought they were so happy and they were excited about the snow.
But I think they were just as excited about having a warm place to stay. You know, so it was just a really interesting scene at the mission yesterday, for sure.
I love that. That's great. I mean, everybody, you know, the snow was not as easy to do snowballs and snowmen on Tuesday, but yesterday it was perfect for snowballs. You know, it was basically stick your fist in the snow and grab a snowball. Super easy. That's great. I'm glad they're able to have some fun and enjoy themselves. And, you know, because everybody else is enjoying the snow, I'm glad they're able to enjoy it as well. You said that you're going to be continuing this through the through Sunday, which I appreciate, taking care of this very high surge capacity of 300 or so people. What, you know, the sort of the life of a homeless person, obviously much more intimately than I do. What are some of the aspects of when they're dealing with this kind of cold? Maybe, you know, Andrew McKay wouldn't think of, but are relevant, because I mean, you know, I figure all of life changes when it's this cold, because you just can't stay outside. You just cannot survive outside.
You really can't. And so the thing that I've noticed here, Andrew, over the last couple of days at being at the mission with this extreme weather, is that the mood of our population has seriously changed. They understand the severity of the weather, and so they are just very calm and, you know, easy to work with. You know, sometimes, you know, there's, you know, some things that you have to deal with on a regular basis. But everybody, I believe, understands that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to stay inside when it's extremely cold out, and they're behaving, quite frankly. There's not a whole lot of, arguing or drama. Everybody understands that it is not a good time to be out in the cold. So we're going to do our best to, you know, play by the rules and be respectful of everybody and just make sure everybody is safe and sound. So,
but it's such a wonderful note, because, you know, it's kind of the minor amounts of misbehavior are sort of a byproduct of the luxury of, you know, having choices, you know, and having options. And, you know, when it's a real emergency, everybody knows this is what we have to do. We're all going to get along. I mean, because I was thinking that same thing. You know, one of the things you often have to deal with in a shelter is, you know, personal squabbles, you know, people who by nature don't necessarily want to be around other people or aren't comfortable being around other people. And so you double your density, basically. You know, do you get problems? And your answer is no, we're actually doing quite well. So that's actually really, I mean, that's great news. What a wonderful thing to note. I did want to ask, you have the Women's Care Center and the Respite Care Center that have been operational now for a couple of months. Still going well, both of those projects?
Oh, absolutely. The women's program has absolutely been increasing since we opened it back in September of last year. We had 45 women in our Pensacola mission last night alone. Some are in the programs that we offer them. Some are obviously just seeking overnight shelter services. But we're averaging, even on non-extreme weather nights, anywhere between 30 and 35 women, which is fantastic. It gives us a new problem that we need to solve, and that's our capacity. Because as you know, when you toured the facility, we have 42 permanent beds for the women, and then, of course, we have additional seven that are dedicated to the women's respite side. So we are in overflow right now. So I've already begun having conversations with my board of directors about the idea of expansion of the women's program, as well as the expansion of the mission. You know, we just have continuously seen homeless numbers increase year over year for the last several years. So we just need to be, you know, in a position to take care of any additional clients seeking services. And, you know, we want to make sure that we're providing as many resources as we can to this population and take care of as many as we can.
No, that's wonderful. And in fact, it's one of the things that my wife is always kind of wished for, because, you know, she really cares about the women and the women with children, especially. And it's one of the things that we have been hoping for a long time, is that you guys or somebody would really, you know, focus on, you know, homeless women and homeless mothers with children. And I loved that you guys are doing this. You know, it's really a blessing to see that happening. Last question for you. We're talking again, Clay Romano, the Waterfront Rescue Mission CEO and president. Are you guys participating whenever it starts to actually implement the pallet homes program with the city of Pensacola, or do you have other plans? I wasn't quite sure if that was something that I had thought you were, but I wasn't sure.
I've had a couple of conversations with some of our community partners, like Travis Tompkins with Emergency Management and Liz Kissel
about the idea of using some of our properties for pallet shelters, but we haven't fully vetted that possibility out. However, we are always looking to expand our shelters for the programs that we currently have. For instance, we just rededicated the Nehemiah House with the help of a number of community partners, you know, specifically Navy Federal Credit Union. And so that will offer an opportunity for men in our CDP program, which is our third phase of our addiction recovery program, an opportunity to put some more tools in their tool belt prior to getting out and being in permanent housing on their own, you know, getting back into society, just better equipped to take care of the things that they have challenges with. So no real discussions with Mayor D.C. Reeves or anybody else from the city of Pensacola regarding pallet shelters.
Okay.
But certainly open to a conversation, of course.
Obviously. Well, very good. Well, Clay, I really appreciate the time this morning. I obviously, you know, we personally donate to your organization because we believe in what you do and we love the gospel work that you guys are doing. You know, thank you for taking care of our people. Thank you for spending some time with me to help our community understand, you know, what's going on with that slice of the population that they, you know, maybe don't always think about so much. But seriously, thank you for the work that you're doing. I appreciate the time.
Hey, Andrew, can I just say one last thing before we go?
Yeah, of course.
You had asked about the respite. You had said something, asked about the respite center, too, and I didn't get a chance to actually say how it's doing. It's been extremely successful, in my opinion, so far. We've had some incredible people come and take advantage of that program. We're working hand-in-hand with Ascension Sacred Heart. Will Condon has been a tremendous supporter of ours. HCA West Florida is in the process of working out the MOU for us. Infirmary Health over in Mobile has been a big partner of ours as well. And it's just an awesome thing to see these individuals that are homeless, that are suffering from some sort of acute medical issue, have an opportunity to get back on their feet health-wise, and then also be able to just transition into the next step of their success journey. So I just wanted to shout out to those healthcare facilities that have been partners of ours with this endeavor.
No, that's fantastic. That's very good news. Clay, thank you again so much for the time. Thanks for what you do. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Andrew.
Of course. 551 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Ladies, do you want to feel more connected to our community? Consider joining Impact 100 Pensacola Bay Area, a women's philanthropic group that has awarded 165 grants, totaling more than $17 million in our community. Connect with other women and increase your area impact. Membership deadline is March 1st. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit Impact100Pensacola.org.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. Costello's has all your barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, briskets, pork butts, and so much more. At Costello's, you'll find all the best boarhead sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready from charcuterie boards to chicken salad and the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wine, and Cheeses. Find them today on the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Contemplate this on the Tree of Woe.
Good morning, 5:55 on News Radio 92.3 as we slowly emerge from the snowpocalypse of 2025. Most of the roads are clear, a couple of patches of packed snow on some of your bridges and overpasses and, you know, places where the trees have been keeping that road surface in the shade. And then also ice. Ice, baby, is the one you want to worry about. And yes, there is ice out there. It's not all that common, but particularly in places that still, it's hard to think of when you got dry pavement, and then a shaded area where there's trees, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I got no control. So, yeah, the roads are fine, but be careful. The county and the city have all changed their assessment of the driving, and, you know, their version of the advice has gone from consider everything impassable to consider everything open, but use caution, you know, which is the right approach. That really is, because, and it's not like it's all one thing. It's fine. Oh, crap. You know, so be prepared for that. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David.
President Trump is visiting recent disaster areas today in California and North Carolina. Trump told reporters he'll be going to North Carolina first, where Tropical Storm Helene caused billions of dollars worth of damage. Then he's heading to California later in the day to review damage from the wildfires. The 17-year-old that fatally shot a student in Nashville apparently live-streamed part of that crime. That's according to Kick, the video streaming platform he used. The company said the account posted a video and was quickly banned. The company removed that video. The shooter killed a female student Wednesday at Antioch High School, wounded a second student, and then committed suicide. And the jury is selected, and opening statements are expected to begin today in the assault trial of rapper A$AP Rocky in Los Angeles. One thing that's been sparking debate online is the fact that there are apparently no black people on that jury, which is assembled to decide the fate of the rapper.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, if you have questions, if you want to weigh in on anything. I know in advance that what President Trump is going to do for 4 years is do really cool things and also things that totally drive me crazy. I just, you know, I have to know that in advance. And so, for example, he did something yesterday that I thought was, this is a really cool thing. This is a promise that he hadn't quite made this as a promise, but he had talked about it one time, that he was going to declassify the JFK, RFK, and MLK assassination records, all of the remaining documents that had not been released to the public. And there's not a lot. Most of the stuff has been revealed, but there are a few. There's thousands and, there's millions, honestly, of government records. But there's only a few thousand that have not been released. And there are some people who say that, you know, what's been released indicates that there doesn't seem to be a lot missing, well, then why keep it, right? So he actually signed an executive order yesterday that is going to eventually lead to, it didn't, like, they didn't put a data dump out. It's not WikiLeaks. But is eventually going to release all of the government documentation related to the three assassinations. One of the more interesting little notes about that was that in signing that executive order, the pen that he used to sign it, he gave to Robert Kennedy. Who's the Secretary of Health and Human Services when he gets confirmed?
Robert Kennedy Jr.
Yeah, Robert Kennedy Jr. Anyway, yeah, that's right. Sorry, my brain all of a sudden fritzed out on me. Gave the pen to him because it was his dad was one of the, right? Bobby Kennedy. So, you know, there may be nothing revelatory in there. We may get it and be like, oh. Or, oh my God, 14 gunmen on the grassy knoll. You know, like, we'll see. And for those of us who have, you know, I never know quite what I believe about the JFK assassination, but it doesn't seem like the magic bullet is the right explanation. I'll just say it that much. I don't really have a strong view. That's unsatisfying to me based on the evidence. So, yeah, good. So he followed through on that. And that's, you know, a promise made and a promise kept. He also has pardoned 23 pro-lifers who had been targeted and imprisoned by the Biden Justice Department for if any other group had been doing what they had done, they would have never been prosecuted for it.